This is Chris McGregor. The work of Discerning Hearts could not continue without your prayers and support. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift. Click Donate at either discerninghearts.com or inside the Discerning Hearts free app. Your generous support will allow us to continue our podcast for those on the discerning journey. Thank you and God bless from all of us at Discerning Hearts. DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered St. Padre Pio, who became a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. John Paul II, to bring the good news to the world, especially the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
God's choice for the poor and the outcast and the needy, and Jesus as a perfect example when he talks about the hungry, the sick, the prisoner, the stranger. He identifies himself. When you do this to the least of these, you do it to me. And the outstanding example of Mother Teresa, whose fourth vow and her sister's is to serve among us the poorest of the poor, wholehearted and freely. Prophet Isaiah, thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ear of the deaf will be cleared. Then will the lame leap, dag, the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppes. The burning sands will become pools and the thirsty ground springs of water. There's this promise, especially to those who are extremely poor and down. And don't be afraid. God is going to save us. When Mother Teresa went into the streets of Calcutta, there were millions dying in the streets. And she was teaching the rich children in the schools. And God came to her and said, these are the people that are my choice, and they've always been. There's this preferential option that the church says that we must make for the poor. And St. James talks about the same theme. My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there, or sit at my feet, have you not made distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my brothers and sisters. Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? And he promised to those who love him. And so in the gospel also, Jesus takes this man who is deaf and he gives him hearing. And the people brought to him a deaf man, it says, in the gospel, in Mark's gospel. And he had a speech impediment and begged him to lay hands on him. He took him off by himself, away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears. In other words, it was very important for the one that he was giving this to recognize that he had to have faith, as if to say, and he was communicating. Jesus was a great communicator. He put his fingers in his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. Do you want your ears open? Do you want you be able to speak? And he looked at him, and he looked up to the heaven, groaning, and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. That was Aramaic for be thou opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened, and his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. That is a magnificent, anyone who knows, you know, what it is, not to be able to speak, because if you can't hear, you can't make sounds like what you hear. And so that's how a child and we learn how to speak. And then they are amazed. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. I really believe that in each of our lives and our families, there are those who come to us that are in a very special way Jesus in our midst. I had a couple that I know. Angela and Michael are so beautiful. And when I met them there, they had a very outstanding, beautiful couple, intelligent. He's a doctor. She's just very, they're both outstanding people. And they had a son, Justin, who was born without eyes. He didn't even have eye sockets. And what a gift God gave to Michael and Angela. He gave them other children, and they're very healthy. But Justin demands so much attention. He needs so much care, and he can't see. And he can hear. And he needs all of the many, many helps that a blind, born blind, and how you communicate, how then can you learn how to speak? And he's now about 12 or 13 years old. But what he has meant, not only to his family, but to all the community around. And he is a special needs child, but Justin is Jesus. And Jesus comes into every family's midst. In my family, Kelly is so much of a gift. She has been born with water on her brain and has seizures. And yet she has this wisdom. You know, maybe she doesn't have an IQ of someone else, but she has a deep wisdom. And Christ radiates through her. We have another member of our family. Her name is Susan. And Susan Saad is so outstanding. And she's in her 40s. And I believe she's Down syndrome. But she's such a loving, loving person. And everyone she meets, she loves. When we live our lives in this spirit of today's liturgy, who is the person in our family that has this special need? And that's the one that we're being called to go out to, that the Lord has called us to the poorest of the poor. And this was how Mother Teresa described it, to see the face of Jesus in the distressing disguise of the poor. You see, Christ has designed the gospel. That's how he puts it. When you did it to this one, when did we do that to you, Lord? When didn't we recognize you? When you did it to the least of these. The 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel says, when you did it to the hungry man, you did it to me. And so to recognize Christ in the hungry person, to recognize Christ in Kelly, to recognize Christ in Justin, to recognize Christ in Susan. I remember so plainly seeing Jesus. One day, I was giving a retreat, and I was in Port-au-Prince with the Missionaries of Charity. They have such a magnificent apostolate in searching out the poorest of the poor. The superior came to me, and she said, "There's a woman dying, and can you come and give her the last rites?" It was in between talks that I was giving, and so it was actually turned out to be at the time that I had scheduled a lunch hour. So the heat was intense. I remember Sister and I going. She had an umbrella, and I had my oils, and I had communion, and we were going to the just ramshackle place. You know, if you've ever been in Port-au-Prince, you would know that the hovels in which the people lived there. And we came to one of these tin-roofed huts, and laying on the dirt floor, because that's where she was born, really. She was 27 years old, and I remember she was dying, and she was dying of AIDS. And I told her, I said, "Regina, you're dying." And the joy on her face, "Oh, thank you, God. I'm going to see God." She was so happy. Her eyes were so brilliant with joy. And we knelt in the dirt by her, and I heard her confession. I was going to lean over and, no, she said it out loud, all the sins she had ever committed. She was so happy to have her sins forgiven. I absolved her, and then I anointed her. I gave her communion, and I gave her the apostolic benediction. And I never was so close to Jesus. That has remained with me. The poorest, she was born in dirt, she lived in filth, and she was dying. And I believe that I just thank God for this Missionary of Charity sister who took me to have this encounter with Jesus Christ, because I'm so sure that she went straight to heaven. You know, the preference that God has, and he has this, "Be strong," he says. And how much misery that woman had felt throughout her life, and that she could hear God say from Isaiah, "Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be cleansed." And everyone who is so longing, you know, what is it that you're struggling with? Sometimes, you know, it may be that you may hear this and you're in prison or you're going to prison. Do not be afraid. Be strong. Jesus said, "I was in prison." You know, prison is not a God-forsaken place. I have met so many saints in prison. The endurance that you have, prisoner, you might have a prison garb, and people may look at you in a certain way, but your true identity, that's what Jesus said, "I was in prison, and you visited me," that you recognize who you are in your heart. Be strong. I have come. I will be with you. Even to have your eyes open to your own goodness, your ears open to hear God speak to you in jail, in prison. The bars that are on the cell that you're in are not really those that can contain you. They're the bars in your own heart. They're the chains that you make for yourself. You can be free and be in prison. And you can also be outside of jail and still be in prison by these chains that bind us so many times. It isn't what makes us one, it's our identity and our awareness of being with Christ. I found, you know, that if si usted es un extranjero aquí en los Estados Unidos sin papeles y está escuchando, if you're someone from outside the country, a stranger, and you don't have documentation, listen, do not be afraid. God is with you, no matter where you go. Some of the poorest people that I have met and some of the strangers in our midst are migrants. They would come here to northeastern Pennsylvania to harvest tomatoes. Their gift was they knew exactly when to pick a tomato so that it would ripen after they picked it, because they had to be picked before they were completely ripened or they couldn't be shipped to other places. That was their gift. And they shared that gift with us here, and they would come. And so often they would be housed in things that looked like chicken coops. They would be stolen. Their children would not receive the education that they could have and should have received, or the hospitalization or a care that they needed from the physical care for their ills when they were sick. And so the migrant, so many times, is a person who's looked at with suspicion. I was a stranger, and you welcome me. In our world today, in our parish today, this gospel needs to be preached. This truth of the identity of Jesus with the deaf, with the dumb, with the outcast, with the poor. Hear again St. James, because St. James is, he really kind of always tells it as it is in his teaching, that so many times we make distinctions because of how things look according to riches and recognition, and we look down on the poor. Listen, my beloved, he says, brothers and sisters, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? And that is actually how the final judgment is going to come. That was how it was scheduled to be administered at the last, when God comes finally at the end. How is he going to distinguish the one from the other? I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me. When were you there? When you came and you did it for the least of these, you did it to me. And these are the ones who are the least of these. And so it's a very marvelous teaching that we have today. And I think it's so important that we listen to the scriptures today, but more important, that we put it into practice in our families. You know, my encounters with people in my family are so important. It's so easy to overlook the one who seems left gifted. Even you in your judging of your children's gifts, who has the highest IQ, who gets the highest mark, who is the first, and how we just tend to push aside those who seem less gifted, and how we fail to recognize the dignity of every single child that we have. I just recently baptized, it was a beautiful family. This family, Bridget and her husband, they were told that they're going to have a Down syndrome baby. And I thought it was so magnificent when I baptized their baby, their beautiful little girl, beautiful child. And that child is going to bring blessing to their home. That's kind of what I wanted to say about that today. And I pray that it will make a difference in your family, in your parish, and in your world all around you. Try and see, especially with the eyes of Jesus. And his eyes have such a desire and such a love for the deaf, the dumb, the poor, the outcast. And he who is in each one of us will reward you for recognizing him there, not only in eternity, but also here in this world.
Monsignor, Bruce and I are just the blessed parents of two children who have autism. One is a bit more severe than the other, and yet, and that's pretty much the case with autism. One in 100 children now have that particular disability for whatever reason in the United States. And they're all so very different. And you can see that they're not cookie cutter kids, and they're a challenge to those who encounter them. And in a time and a culture where everybody's trying to conform and to look like their neighbor or to be better than their neighbor, and mostly they're the boys. One out of four are girls, but most are boys. As they're now becoming adults, how will society treat them? How will they embrace them? Because it's not easy. You know, they're quite the challenge for every aspect of society.
I think as a parent of an autistic child, and you do see the attitude of the world around that child of yours when they mm-hmm. go forth, how important it is that each one begins to see how do we recognize the dignity of every human being when this autistic person comes and needs my attention to what? To the recognition of his dignity, of Christ. So when I you never know how Christ is going to be and what Christ is going to say and how he's going to be with you. But you yourself can say, here comes this autistic person, here comes Christ. And then to be willing to open your heart to what he might say or she might say or do. I believe that to have a kinder, gentler world, that I pray that each one of us will be able to create that climate so that your two children will find in this world a welcoming of brothers and sisters all around them. I met an old black lady, and I loved her so much. She was so sweet. And she said, you know, Father, we all have brothers and sisters we never met before. And all of us, to be open each day to meet brothers and sisters, that's who we are to one another. And the person who is Christ, that's I am, then is able and willing and has the potential to bring about this civilization of love that includes the autistic, that includes the disabled, that includes everyone, and especially those who are most needy in our midst. Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, did not God choose those who are poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which is what the challenge is for each one of us? And so each one of us has the opportunity to embrace Christ in every person that you meet. And everyone that you do meet is Christ in a distressing disguise so many times in the poor. So that's my prayer, that we will be able to create a civilization of love. This world can be and has a potential and a power to be because God is sending his Son into the world through you and through me. We now have the opportunity to do what Isaiah prophesied. This might seem like a utopia that's impossible in this world, but it is not. Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. And how is he going to do that? Through you, in you, with you, because you have been empowered to be Christ and his love in this world. And this whole day can begin to be a new day in the whole world, that the ripples that flow from you and pour out into the world from you could be praises of God. The people of God today all over the Catholic world on this Sunday will say, "Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. The God of Jacob keeps faith forever, secures the just for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects the strangers." It can be echoed, and hear what we say, all of us, "Praise the Lord, my soul," because it has begun. It's begun with you, and it's begun with me, and we can bring this new world through love, through Christ, in Him and with Him. It's begun. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. "Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord." God bless.
You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essev. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essev.